good seat, got a nice package, alright. Cause I'm gonna have to ride it tonight. All my girls at the party, look at that body, shaking that thing like you never did see. Got a nice package, alright.
Edit.
4, 3, 2, 1. Chica.
Hey guys, what's up? It's your girl Van back this week for Best Week Ever. This week we're going to be doing a different type of episode. I had Jordan on the show, but we both woke up not feeling that great. So I was like, you know what? Don't worry, girl. I got you. I'll be taking care of this episode solo and she's going to come back. So we're all set. A little bit about last week's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed having Old Millennials podcast on the show. I had so much fun. You have no idea how excited I was to have both Emily and Margot on the show. They are so, so cool, and I was just so thrilled to have them on, and I hope you guys had a great time listening to them too. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to talk a little bit about some quick stuff that I might not be bringing up on both categories for Best and Worst Week. I did want to talk a little bit about Scott Disick and his Lamborghini being totaled. Guys, there's a story there, right? I really have this huge theory going on that Kylie Jenner is waiting to reveal her son's name. I think they're really holding on to like a crisis, if like as an emergency, if anything were to happen, they're just going to be like, well, you know what? That day we will release our baby's name. So I'm surprised that it didn't happen the day that Scott Disick's Lamborghini got totally rolled over, but we'll see. And I know some of you guys have been wanting me to talk about the whole Andrew Tate of it all. And to be quite honest, I don't think he's famous enough for me to talk about him. I don't think my type of audience would be interested in knowing his background. I mean, it's an easy Google search of why this horrible man with ugly teeth is getting banned from a lot of platforms. But I know Ray Sani tweeted something about how like this man literally has shot up more followers since everyone knows about his story and how like he's trying to go back on his word and stuff. But literally, I tweeted back to her saying, like, this man looks, by his teeth alone, looks like he has horrible breath. And I'm just going to leave it as that. So without any further ado, let's get into this episode. First week honorable mention, I have to give it up to HBO Max. I know this is probably just a start of what HBO Max has planned to do, but so far it's not looking so good. The classic Sesame Street were available on HBO Max, but about 250 legacy episodes have been removed. This might be the first sign of HBO Max of pulling out of supporting Sesame Workshop. I know I am a parent and you guys probably hate hearing that, but shout out to the people who don't. Sesame Street is gold. I show every Sesame Street episode to my child, even the old ones that I was watching back in the day. And I'm talking about like old episodes too that my mom used to watch back in the day. So I don't know what HBO Max has planned. I'm just really hoping that they don't get rid of important shows. I know I'll be talking about this a little bit later, but I really do think that they should just pull Euphoria off. I mean, just pull the plug on Sam Levinson. Sam Levinson is a nepotism baby, okay? This man can go find work in another production film set, or you know what? I'm pretty sure he is on the works of starting his own production film set. So get rid of Euphoria and keep Sesame Street for us, please. For my next honorable mention of worst week ever, I have to give it up to Gary Busey. Gary Busey was in a horror film convention in New Jersey, of all places, Cherry Hill. He actually has several counts of sexual misconduct. This man is 78 years old. I don't understand what he's doing. He has to be, like, mentally not there. But, of course, he has denied all of these allegations. So, I don't know. I feel like we will be watching Gary Busey on Dr. Drew times two. Let's see if MTV would even bring that show back. But, yes, I really hope that Gary Busey, worst week for you guys. Man, yeah. But yes, Gary Busey, worst week honorable mention. For my runner-up of worst week ever, I have to give it to Barbie Ferriada. Barbie Ferriada, right? Barbie Ferriada, that's her last name. She is from Queens, New York, and she went to Hackensack High School. Guys, I am so old. I'm 35 years old. This woman was not hanging out with me back in the day, but the fact that she went to Hackensack High School, pretty damn cool. Anyway, back to Barbie. She's leaving Euphoria. She posted a story on her IG, her Instagram story, Wednesday, that she will not be returning for season 3. I blame Sam Levinson. This brings it all back to why I really think Euphoria season 3 should just be pulled out and canceled. And honestly, give that money to a new brand underground show that, like, give it to, like, an artist or a director or a film cinematographer that actually does the work and is not just given this opportunity to be part of HBO Max. I really like the fact, I really should put Barbie as best week for my runner-up. But I guess because her having all these problems with Euphoria and Sam Levinson before, of how she wanted to portray Catherine, Kat, her character in the show Euphoria, I really think that she is paving the way for other actors and actresses to not withstand creativity the way that she had to with Sam Levinson. There has been so many rumors of Sam just focusing on, like, the teenage sexuality, nudity of it all. Look at Maddie, the character from Sydney Sweeney. She was basically topless all of season 2. And I feel like in season 1, when they introduced Kat in Euphoria, they really were showing a side that we don't see on television that often. One, yes, the sex working of it all with online internet. But also, secondly, Barbie is a plus size celebrity. I hate saying plus size. I don't like saying fat either. But it's true. She is a different type of character that brought in a different point of view. I loved Kat's character in season 1. I was just as disappointed as everyone was for season 2 when she literally was just washed away. And the writing, I mean, the writing, you guys already know how I feel about the writing in Euphoria. It's shit. We are visually being pleased. The dialogue is awful. And the storyline that they went with on Kat for season 2 was just so, like, we all knew that there was something going on behind the scenes. So yes, I am saying this is a runner up for worst week, maybe worst week for Euphoria, because it's not looking good for this show. But great for Barbie for taking a stand and leaving the show. And it sounds pretty toxic to me. The whole fact that I mentioned with Sydney Sweeney showing nudity more and more, and now Barbie being outspoken about how she wanted her character to be perceived, it just gives me vibes that the show, like, behind the scenes is just icky. And I really hope that Zendaya is going to do something about it. And now for my worst week winner. I might lose some listeners over this, and I might gain some followers, so listen up. I really have to give this worst week winner to Olivia Wilde, not only Olivia Wilde, Shia LaBeouf, and the Don't Worry Darling movie of it all. They're all having the worst week ever. And I have to really give it up to Florence Pugh keeping it mums, like not saying a word. Rumor has said, well, it's not a rumor. It has been notified that she will not be participating in any of the PR events for the press junking of this show. She's not going to go to any of the red carpet premieres except one in Europe. I want to say that it's the Venice Cannes Film Festival, maybe. I'm not too sure. I should double check. So yes, she will not be doing any other premieres. The only premiere she'll be joining partly with the cast is the Venice Cannes Film Festival, which makes me wonder if Olivia Wilde is attending that at all. So let's get into it. Olivia Wilde has boastedly bragged about how her film set has had a no asshole policy. So before she had Harry Styles join the cast, she originally had Shia LaBeouf play the main character that Harry Styles is now playing in the movie. Olivia Wilde came out and said that she fired him because Miss Flo, and I have my bunny ear fingers out, guys. She was calling Miss Flo. She said that Florence wasn't comfortable being part of a cast with Shia LaBeouf, because this was actually in 2020 when FKA Twigs came out with her story of how she was being emotionally abused by Shia. And not only emotionally abused, but he was physically abusing her too, on top of verbally abusing. It was horrible. I highly recommend to go back. I guess this is like 2 years ago. I did cover the whole Shia LaBeouf and FKA Twigs article, and I did have my say on that. Shia LaBeouf is a piece of shit, regardless with this whole thing going on with Olivia Wilde. I know Olivia Wilde is a shitty person herself in her other ways, but like Shia LaBeouf truly is like a piece of shit from all like the allegations that has been against him. And like, I'm really hoping Mia Goth is okay with all of this. Like, horror queen actress Mia Goth. Does anyone else get like this sinister vibe from her? I don't know if it's because of the movies that she's always portraying herself in, but she really gives me like this dark energy that I do not like. She's great in films, don't get me wrong, but like the whole point of her still being with Shia, and like it just gives me dark energy. Anyway, back to the whole Don't Worry Darling. So yes, that whole thing came out in 2020, and that is when Olivia Wilde started talking to Shia, because Shia said that he left because there was issues with the whole scheduling with the other actors and having rehearse time being there. So that's what Shia LaBeouf said. He quit because the scheduling just wasn't there and he needed the time or whatever. So Olivia Wilde came out and said that she fired him because Miss Pugh did not feel comfortable with him on the set. And she, like I said, she said that she does not tolerate, like she has a no asshole policy in her film set. So, you know, throughout all of this, she was saying how like she was looking out for her crew. She was looking out for her actors who were feeling kind of off the fence, like with Shia joining the whole movie set. So now that Variety, which I will be enclosing the interview into the description, Variety had a article with Olivia Wilde where Olivia Wilde says that she had to fire Shia LaBeouf because of the whole uncomfortability for the cast and crew. And Shia LaBeouf came back with receipts. He came back to Variety with not only text messages, but videos of Olivia Wilde begging Shia to come back to the movie role that she apparently fired him for. In the video, she blames Florence for Shia's leaving, saying that Miss Flo needs a wake-up call in regards to Florence not feeling comfortable working with Shia. She also says that she's heartbroken that Shia has decided to quit. So there, right there, shows that Olivia Wilde got caught in a lie. Now, does this look good for her? No, it does not look good for her. And to be quite honest, it doesn't look good for Shia LaBeouf either. I mean, we gotta look at what Shia's going through. He's been having, and granted, he should be having these rough 2 years happening to him. I hope he's going to therapy, and I really hope his mom is going to therapy too. I'm never gonna forget Shia LaBeouf praising his mom his whole entire Even Steven days, how much he like thinks his mom, like basically calls him mom a saint for putting up with him or something like that. But honestly, like, that whole family needs to go to therapy. Anyway, back to Olivia Wilde and these text messages and videos being sent to Shia saying that she felt absolutely gutted that he's not going to be part of this whole film set. And she also texted him saying, like, we pinky promise. So whether or not he's going to be in this film, she said that in the future she would like to keep him in mind in other film sets, which is also another, like, ugh, Olivia, girl. Do you not know? You should not be recording or texting this. Like, people screenshot now. People literally save this kind of shit in their phones all the time. So we have all come to find out that Olivia was lying, that Shia left on his own, and we all know that Olivia tried to beg him back, and it makes sense now why Florence hasn't really said anything back, in that if you were to listen to last week's episode, Margot mentions that Olivia Wilde was gushing about Florence in one post that she posted on Instagram, and Florence didn't comment or liked it at all, which led to believe like there has to be something going on between Olivia and Florence. And now the truth has come out, and we all know why Florence doesn't really fuck with Olivia Wilde. And really, honestly, can we blame her? No, we can't. This poor girl, she's a woman now. I mean, like, yes, last week when we were talking about her breakup with Zach Braff, this actress is a woman, and like, she's an up-and-coming star. Like, I'm very excited to see her in Don't Worry Darling, even though I do not like Olivia Wilde and I do not like all this bullshit drama going on behind the scenes, because I'm sorry, but Florence deserves her cookies. She deserves all the praise for this movie, because she's a great damn actress and she deserves some praise on her acting. It just sucks that she's in the middle of this whole love affair between Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde, and to add on that, the fact that she didn't really protect Florence, that she was willing to put Shia back into the movie set. It really just showed that Olivia Wilde does not support other women as much as she likes to call herself a feminist. And also, she kind of like put Jason Sudeikis down in the Variety article, where she basically, I'm paraphrasing here, saying like there was a reason she left Jason Sudeikis. Okay, girl. I have a personal problem with Olivia Wilde just because I worked in the service industry in New York City, and but I really don't take what she says, like, take everything she says with a grain of salt, because there's two sides to every story, and Olivia Wilde is one of those people where you have to listen to the other person's point of view, because you're not getting the whole full story. And that's what I'm going to say for now. Like, yes, Shia LaBeouf is a piece of shit. Olivia Wilde, almost there, but, you know, she's a sucky person. And Don't Worry, Darling, guys, this sucks, right? Like, this movie, like, you want to be supportive for Florence Pugh, but at the same time, like, I don't want to see this movie now. Or maybe I will. Who knows? Okay, let's move on to our best week honorable mentions. Do you guys follow Aubrey Day? Aubrey O'Day? Do you guys remember making the band with P. Diddy? Because I'm taking you all the way back there. Because I'm pretty sure not a lot of people know who Aubrey O'Day is. So if you guys don't know who Aubrey O'Day is, she was in making the band with P. Diddy. And she was in the band Danity Kane. Mostly people remember her the most because I remember P. Diddy basically telling her, like, you have black family members in your family. Because, you know, Aubrey O'Day is white. But the way she danced and sang, that's what led P. Diddy to say that comment. People might know her from Twitter. She used to date Don Trump Jr., one of the Trump brothers, disgustingly so, in the early, late 2010s to 2012. And she's been famously known for tweeting out that she dated the Trump, one of the Trump juniors, and basically called out on him. But, like, literally, she's had some sketchy stuff happen in her past too. Anyway, that was a little bit of information of Aubrey O'Day. If you happen to not know who she is, go look her up. Why am I putting her as best week honorable mention? Aubrey O'Day has been caught red-handed, apparently, posting fake pictures. And she's been photoshopping herself in those fake pictures. So what she's been doing on her Instagram is basically, I call it art. I'm sorry, guys. I call it art because I will be posting a photo of why I've been calling it art. I think these photos look amazing. Yes, she's probably not really there. We all know she's not really there, guys. I'm joking. But the fact that she photoshopped herself so beautifully too, like, these are amazingly good photoshopped pictures. I gotta give it to her. She's trying to put herself out there and trying to be more relevant. I mean, I would be a jealous D-list celebrity too if I had to go through every summer living in LA, seeing all these celebrities going out, traveling all the time into, like, Europe, South America. You know how it is. Every summer we have to see our rich friends go to these vacations. And I feel like Aubrey O'Day had major FOMO and she just wanted to be a starlight, like, wanting to show you that she too can have beautiful photos with a fake drop background. So best week for Aubrey O'Day, I have to say, this made us all talk about her, and I hope she's having a good week. So for my next best week honorable mention, obviously I have to give it to Olivia Rodrigo, who played on stage with Billy Joel. Olivia Rodrigo played Deja Vu while Billy Joel was playing the song in the keys, on the keyboards. And after that song, they started playing Uptown Girl. And if you know me, you know that I'm a Jersey girl, Queens, New York Mets. Billy Joel is everything back east. And y'all know how much I love Olivia Rodrigo as well and how she mentioned Billy Joel. Please go back and listen to me and Krista talk about the Sour album of Olivia Rodrigo. It's one of my favorite episodes. Yeah, so honorable mention, I'll be putting that video up so you guys can see the whole entire video and performance of Billy Joel and Olivia Rodrigo. For my best week runner-up, I have to, again, give it to Miss Jennifer Affleck and Ben. First of all, I love, love, love the fact that their wedding basically walked all over Sarah Hyland's and Wells, whatever his face is from The Bachelorette. Yes, the wedding of Sarah and Wells is beautiful and gorgeous, but it's also basic. And she's been talking about this wedding for 5 years. So I really wasn't really that interested in knowing what her wedding was looking like, but Jennifer's and Ben's, yes, sign me up. What I love most about Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck's wedding is that Jennifer Lopez is literally living her best life while Ben Affleck seems to be living his drunk life. Have y'all been seeing the videos and photos of Ben just looking haggard? And not only haggard, but he basically looks like he's been partying hard. Kind of like those photos that Jennifer Gardner was giving him, like fast food, while the paparazzis were clicking away because she was getting him food before rehab. It reminded me of that, very much so. But besides that, yeah, Jennifer Lopez on the J-Lo. I think one of my favorite parts of this whole thing, which I already posted on the story, but I guess I'll post it again in our Instagram post. Ben Affleck was basically looking at Jennifer Lopez's blog while they were eating dinner. And for some reason, that just made me really happy. The fact that this man, this Dunkin' Donuts man, is checking on his wife's, newly wife, blog. I don't know why I love that so much. It's like if I were to find my partner listening to my podcast, which I highly doubt would ever happen. But just that little support, I find that very endearing. I thought it was very cute. And on top of Jennifer and Ben getting married this week, if you've seen Heather Morris, she is the blonde Britney girl from the show Glee. Guys, I never really watched Glee. I probably saw the first season when it first came out. I was just never joined in the bandwagon of the whole Glee of it all. But I know who Heather Morris is because I, like all of you, have seen the Britney episode, the Britney Spears episode of Glee. Anyway, Heather Morris was on a podcast where she talks about how Jennifer Lopez got to join in one of the dance season routines, something like that. And they were all auditioning with a bunch of dancers. And in the middle of the whole audition, Jennifer Lopez asked the whole entire dancers who were trying out for this audition, if you're a Virgo, please raise your hand. And the people who raised her hand, she basically said, thank you for coming. Which, as a Leo, I highly agree. I agree with the whole Virgo versus Leo. Now, listen to me carefully. So I've been in two relationships, two very big relationships, actually, now that I think about it, in my life. They were both Virgos, and I remember always trying so hard to make us compatible, knowing and reading and doing my research on astrology, that our stars just do not align at all. Like, we do not look at the same things eye to eye. If anything, we would fight each other, bring up my past a little bit, but yes, Virgos and Leos do not get along. But I do have to point out that I don't get along with Virgo men, okay? Virgo women, love. Love, love, love. But Virgo men, like, I just stay away. I don't even want to deal with that. So as a Leo, I do understand where J-Lo is coming from. She just doesn't want that bad energy around her. And as I got older, I stopped trying to make these stars align, guys. Like, I just stopped. Like, I highly side with J-Lo on this. And do you blame her? Like, why is everybody hating on J-Lo? I love the fact that she did that. So, best week for sure. More so Jennifer Affleck than Ben Affleck. All right, so here it is, guys. My best week winner has to be the White House Twitter account. Now, I don't know if you guys have been seeing the White House Twitter account, because I don't follow them, but I guess I do now. So we all know that, I don't want to say the president, because I'm sorry, I don't think the president has forgiven the loans. The government. The whole, like, government as a whole has decided to forgive $20,000 in loans for students who, or non-students, students who graduated. Let me see. So there's been a lot of Republicans who voiced out of how they feel about the whole loan forgiveness for student debt. And the White House Twitter account decided to pull a "is this you" kind of thing, where they basically called out all these Republicans taking out PPP loans, asking for government assistance, while also complaining that us lower class, middle class people should not be allowed to have any loan forgiveness. If you guys follow New Jersey Twitter account, I know I do because, hello, I'm a Jersey girl, but their New Jersey Twitter account is probably one of the funniest. They have had some funny jokes thrown here and there. But the woman behind of it all, her name is Megan Coyne. She is a Jersey girl. She ran the Twitter account for New Jersey under Governor Murphy. And she is now in charge of the Twitter account of the White House. And her strategy was to call out all these Republicans who were basically crying out hypocrisy. And I have to give it up to her. Megan Coyne is her name. And on behalf of New Jersey, you are very welcome. She started her career basically in New Jersey while attending Rutgers University, guys. Worked as communications intern in the governor's office for 15 months, 2018 to 19. Murphy hired her straight out of college to work on his communications staff. And Megan Coyne is now going down in history as one of the best Twitter handlers ever. And she is definitely my best week ever. I will be posting all of her tweets that she tweeted, retweeted, or subtweeted. What is it? Quote retweeted. All those Republicans who were complaining about the student loan debt forgiveness. Now, this is $20,000 that we're talking about just being taken out, which is, in my opinion, not enough. And these Republicans have literally taken out mostly like $1 million worth of government assistance of PPP loans. And guys, this is America. And the fact that we have to have like a Gen Z tweet it and basically air their dirty laundry, like, and this is all information that you can look up. This is what makes it mostly funny and sad, is that you can literally look at Marjorie Greene Taylor's PPP loans, what she asked for, what she was given, what she is forgiven. And the fact that these people are complaining about like handouts to people who actually need it. Y'all don't see this right now, but I am pissed. Like, I am pissed. And I'm really happy that Megan Coyne, the new Twitter account for the White House, is literally making them eat their shit. So, best week for Megan Coyne, for sure. That has to be one of the best things I've ever... This would have to be in history books, guys. I'm sorry. And if we don't, we got the receipts, we got the screenshots. We're good to go. Guys, and that is it for today's solo episode. I hope you guys hung out there as long as you can. I know sometimes I can ramble, and that's why I decided to have a guest each week. Next week, I'm super excited. I'm having a friend join the show. She is a local friend, my weed friend, a weed account girl that I'm going to be blowing up on my Instagram. So please be aware of my stories because I will be telling you to go follow her, check her stories. She's hilarious. I'm super excited that I'm going to be talking to someone that lives in the same town as me and someone that who is friends with my friends and small clique. You know, it's not a small clique, guys. It's just that Santa Cruz is such a small community if you actually live here. Like, and I've been living here for 10 years, and the fact that that is true blows my mind. But yes, we will be having my friend Emily join the episode, and I'm super excited to talk pop culture with her. But before we close the show, we have to give up why I chose the song. So I know last time I did a solo episode, I did a very emo song. I did Had a Bad Day by Fuel, which took me back to my grunge emo, like middle school days where I tried to be really cool and liked Puddle of Mud. Who was I? Anyway, with all that, deep down, I was still loving pop music because Janet Jackson, All For You, was one of my favorite songs in 2001. Now, that year alone was pretty hard. Not only was it because I started eighth grade, but because of 9/11 attacks, and also, I think that was the same year. No, it wasn't the same year. Not the same year that Justin Timberlake ripped her nipple ring off. No, wasn't the same year. I think that was a couple years later. But yes, 2001, I remember All For You. The music video was so, like, to this day, still lives up to its hype. Love the music video. And of course, it wouldn't be a true Janet Jackson music video without the edit of the dance moves. Now, at this time, I was super into dance routines, karaokeing, music videos. Nothing has changed, guys. I'm still like that. I knew every dance move to that dance routine. Now, do I know it now? No, but if I watched the video, yes, I do remember some certain dance moves and the beats. Just like J-Lo's My Love Don't Cost a Thing, that breakdown, I still remember some dance moves because I used to record the music videos, play them back, would follow the dance routines, and that's how I learned to do the dance routines, guys. Not because of the making the video. I know there used to be an MTV time where they basically had like a 5 minute, 2 minute commercial break and they showed you the dance moves to each music video. MTV, you guys are such shit. Like, do you see how gold this sounds when I say it out loud? You literally gave us a 2 minute clip on how to dance to certain music videos back in the day in the early 2000s. I would wish for that now. I would want to know Dua Lipa's dance moves. I would definitely want to know like Doja Cat dance moves. You know what I mean? Like, just show us the music videos and then show us how to dance them in a little routine like you did before. Anyway, that's how I used to learn all my dance routines for music videos. But yes, All For You, one of my favorite songs. I still put it on to this day. And is it really a Janet Jackson song if she's not laughing in her songs? Like, it's my favorite part in each of her songs. It's her little laugh. I love it. But yes, Janet Jackson. Justice for Janet Jackson. I hope you guys saw the documentary, how they try to play her dirty. And you know what? I've always disliked ramen top head Justin Timberlake for doing what he did. To not only, like, we all knew the Britney Spears thing, but the whole, like, Janet thing of how he didn't apologize, but, like, Janet Jackson had to apologize, and, yeah, I will never forgive him for that, and Janet Jackson will always be my queen. So that is it for today's episode, guys. Please DM us at Best Week Ever podcast. That is our Instagram's handle's name. Check us out. I have stickers now, so if you want them, hit me up. But until then, I hope you guys are having the best week ever. Bye, guys. Give yourself a show, you'll be having fun.